Hello everybody, and indeed today is the 23rd of October 2015. This is me, Sami Shah, right here behind the microphone and behind the steering wheel, and you are listening to Sami Says. I am driving right now on this beautiful, beautiful, Friday morning at 9:54 a.m. to Perth from Northam, as per usual. Not for a gig, obviously, not at this time of the day. I'm going to run some errands. For those of you, I just realized, by the way, there have been a lot of new listeners in the last few weeks since the BBC a Beginner's Guide to Pakistan thing aired. I picked up a lot of people from England, from London. I can kind of see the stats a little bit on my podcast tracking softwares, and welcome. Thank you for coming on board. I hope you aren't frightened away by the complete and utter lack of quality in this podcast. Here's a bit of a quick summary on what this is. My name is Sami Shah, as you know. I am a stand-up comedian from Pakistan, from Karachi in particular, and I moved or immigrated to Australia in 2012. Part of the immigration rules were that I had to spend some time living in a regional town in Western Australia, which is why I ended up locating myself in a town called Northam, N-O-R-T-H-A-M, which is a small farming town of a few thousand people, about an hour and 40 minutes away from Perth. And doing comedy in Perth would require me to drive the hour and 40 minutes, almost 100 and so kilometers there, several times a week, sometimes up to five times a week, to do some comedy in Perth and stuff. And so I decided to start recording a podcast while I do the drive, which is why you hear sound in the background of like the wheels turning and me swerving around kangaroos and you know, accidentally driving over snakes and such. And to be fair, I've been very good about that. If I see a snake, I will try to go around it or stop and let it pass through. I'm not very big on using my car as a killer, as an animal killing vehicle. I even at one point stopped in the middle of the highway, pulled over to the side, and helped a family of bunnies cross the road once. Because I like the entire time, it's in the middle of the night, there's a massive truck bearing down, which basically just missed me. But I took I led the bunnies across the road. Then there's one baby rabbit on the other side. What's the name for baby rabbits? Do baby rabbits have a name? Like a foal or a fawn or something? But like a rabbit version of that? Anyway, and I led that one across the side of the road separately by carrying it in my in my hands because it was so scared. And I deposited it all safely on the other side. And I went home and I scrubbed my hands with Dettol and scraped the skin off because I have a kind of a finicky little thing about touching animals with my hands. And I do think that was my homage to Al Arera, the rabbit god of Watership Down. Anyway, so yeah, back on track. So that's what this podcast is. It's literally me, you know, trying to not die of boredom as I drive from Northam to Perth for work and for shows and things like that. And I fill the time by talking about certain topics or talking about whatever's on my mind. And these days, obviously, what's on my mind is the fact that my time is up. I've served my time in Shawshank. I no longer have to suffer. I am currently on the verge of moving to Melbourne, we're packing up the house, we're throwing things in boxes, there's all of that going on, and it's an exciting time. It's a bit of a upsetting time as well, because I'm going to be saying goodbye to a lot of friends, and so there's that whole drama involved, and it's a move, man. That's just it. I moved 3.5 years ago from Pakistan to Australia, and that was a very big leap into the dark. And we're kind of doing it again. And so there is some residual fear and panic kind of left over from that early time. And so, yeah, we'll talk about those things as well. But basically, that's what the podcast is. It's not great. It's not award-winning. It's not, you know, anything that is required. Listening is just literally, if you want to fill your head with my voice for half an hour once a week, this is the best I can provide. I don't plug my shows very well on this. I don't, it doesn't help my career in really any way. Although, to be fair, when I was in London for the Soho Theatre shows a few months ago, there's a bunch of people who attended the shows based on listenership of my podcast. So, it's, you know, it's wrong for me to kind of pull it down as such, but yeah, it is what it is, which is also my favorite phrase, as someone has pointed out that I should have named the podcast, it is what it is. But yeah, it is called Sami Says. Sometimes I cover topics. In past issues, if you go back, I spent episodes, I spent time talking about things like freedom of speech or ISIS or very serious topics, actually. I've been thinking a lot about things like community de-radicalization in the Islamic community these days. And so that might come up in future podcasts once I'm done researching that topic. But, yeah, it's been something I've been kind of, it's a work in progress. And if you stick around for a little while, then I appreciate that. If you're already bored mindless by my banter and inane attempt at explaining this thing and have, you know, flung your iPhone or iPod out the window, I don't blame you. I don't know how you're still listening to me, as I apologize for that. But I am on your side. I don't know why anyone listens to this, to be honest. But yes, we're currently moving. That's why I'm driving to Perth right now, because I need guitar cases. I bought a guitar about 2 years ago on my birthday, on my 36th birthday, I think it was, the 35th birthday, as a kind of like a midlife crisis, preventative measure, where I was like, well, you know, instead of spending money on fast cars and trying to woo younger women, I'll buy a guitar. I'll learn how to practice guitar, play the guitar, put my focus and my energies there instead. And my first one that I got was an electric guitar, cheap Fender Squire, beginner's guitar. And I got that, and I realized I can't really practice an electric guitar at home because I have a daughter and it wakes her up at night. And so I basically, you know, I traded that one in and I got an acoustic. I traded that one and I got another acoustic. I kind of traded in. I'm very shallow. So for me, the appearance of the guitar is as important as the sound. And it says everything you need to know about my personality right there. But I did. I went and bought the guitars and I traded them in and kept trading them in until I finally settled on my two, which I've had now for a while, and I love them, and they just fill me with joy and happiness. And one of them is, if you're into guitars, they're both Gretsches. I don't know how to pronounce it. Gretsch, G-R-E-T-S-C-H, Gretsch, and Gretsch. Anyway, they're both those. One's a Jim Dandy parlor top guitar. It's my small little bluesy number. And the other one is a arch top, a hollow body jazz guitar, and that's the one that I practice my Django rhythms on, and yeah, that's what I do every night. I play for an hour or two, and whenever I'm watching TV, I just pick up the guitar and strum along, and I'm learning. I'm self-taught and entirely using YouTube videos, and I've come a long way in the last year and a half. I'm nowhere near good, but I'm beginner level still, but I love them. I love my guitars, and now they're moving. I have to transport them, and I'm really worried about them getting damaged in trucks or wherever, or in containers, or however they move. So I'm going to buy guitar cases for them. I've never needed guitar cases because I never plan on playing publicly. So I never really move them out of the room that they're in, but clearly I need some right now. So I'm going to go to Perth, buy that, and then just other silly things like buy a new iron because I dropped the last one and broke that one. And yeah, just trying to get the last minute things done and then put everything in boxes and move and go and start life in Melbourne. It's going to be an adventure or an experience or whatever. It'll be fine. You know what it is? When we moved from Pakistan to Australia, the sheer stress of that move, of stepping into the dark that way, frightened me so much, and put so much stress on me that I kind of developed irritable bowel syndrome because of that. I did. I had a whole phase in the last few weeks before we flew out. I had this whole period where I used to get crippling stomach aches. My stomach would bloat out and just fill with gas and just beautiful descriptions I'm giving you right now. But yeah, I used to end up in the hospital. Like, it was a weird thing, because Ishma was, you know, busy packing up the house. And so she... And I wasn't being much help because I was trying to do my last few days at the office I was working in at the time. And basically the office told me, look, if you put in the last few days while you're here and put in some extra hours, we can really make sure we give you some good bonuses and stuff so that you can have some extra money to take with you to Australia. So I think, all right, fine, I guess I'll do that then. And so Ishma had to kind of pack up the house herself while I was at work. And And so she was a little annoyed by that anyway. And then when I wake up at like 5 in the morning and go, my stomach hurts. She's just like, yeah, you fucking drive yourself to the hospital. Like, I'm not helping you if your stomach hurts. Like, you're a 35-year-old man. Your stomach shouldn't hurt that much. And it's a weird thing. Like, so I'd have these crippling stomach aches and I'd roll myself into the car and drive to the hospital and turn up at the hospital with my stomach bloated out. But in an emergency room, the doctors don't pay much attention to you if your biggest complaint is, oh, my tummy hurts. They're just like, yeah, all right, fucking take a number, sit in the corner. We're going to deal with the guy with a machete in his head right now first. So I kind of just sat there with my stomach hurting. And then finally the doctor came around. He's like, yeah, it's stress-related and all that. And what they did was they put me in a corner of the emergency ward on a saline solution drip, I guess. And just kind of took away my, confiscated my phone and everything, and just made me lie there for a few hours. And that few hours of lying there was the greatest and closest I've ever come to complete abdication and relaxation. Abdication of responsibility and relaxation. I think what's happened is my entire life, I've always had like some, we all do, it's not like I'm a martyr or anything, I just always have had the same amount of responsibility we all do. We always have some things always around the corner, some work you have to take care of, something you have to do, and it kind of takes a toll and you don't realize how much of a toll it takes. Even when we're on holiday, there's things to worry about on the holiday, right? There's people who need to contact you, or stuff you need to get done, and deadlines to meet, or something. There's always something. In my life, there's always been something I'm behind on, or trying to catch up on, or trying to start work on. And lying there in that hospital bed with just a drip going into me, and no one can contact me, no one can bother me, I have the perfect excuse. I'm in a hospital, I'm not well, you can't ask me to do anything right now, was the most comforting experience of my life. It was so, I still look back on it fondly as a memory of just a good time. I think the only other time I have that is when I'm in airports. Like, people hate travel, and the whole sitting in the plane thing is not a fun part, although I don't mind it so much. I've spent a lot of time in long distance travel in planes. But for me, the happiest is when I'm traveling alone. And I've got, and I'm at the airport, and I'm checked in now. I've got my boarding pass, and I'm in the departure lounge. Because you can't do anything there. You can't do any work there. You can take out your laptop and do work, but yeah, I don't want to be that. No one wants to be that guy. So I just sit there, and I stand up, and I walk around, and I go through the duty-free, just kind of browsing, and there's no, you know, I can turn my phone off, I can keep it on, it's up to me. I don't have to pick and drop and do anything. I'm on my own, I'm alone, and I'm comfortable, and I'm relaxed, and there's no responsibilities. My power and my will has been handed over. My agency has been handed over to someone else. To the pilot and the airport staff and those people. And man, that is a nice feeling sometimes. But yeah, that's not a feeling I have right now though. Right now it's a lot of running around, it's a lot of put this in boxes and arrange for that and get the skip in, cancel these subscriptions and get these addresses rerouted and so on and so forth. And part of it is the uncertainty of it all, because we're staying with friends in Melbourne for a few weeks until we get our own place, and so there's that whole tension involved. And yeah, I can feel every day the onset of an IBS attack, and I kind of breathe my way through it, and I have my coping mechanisms in place now, which involve a lot of breathing, a lot of deep breathing, a lot of relaxing, a lot of listening to podcasts when I get stressed or anything, I just put something on to kind of drown out the world, and a lot of, well not a lot, but entirely way too much of that little tiny, what is it, I think it's Chinese, those little bottles of probiotic milky type thing, which tastes a bit like if you're from Pakistan or India, you know, it's called lassi, which is a milk based drink, the dairy drink, kind of salty, and so yeah, it's those little things. How am I remembering? That's another aspect of the podcast, by the way, for those of you just tuning in. Is for some reason, whenever I'm driving and doing this podcast, my brain forgets all names of everything. But yeah, you get them everywhere. They're in the stores and stuff, and apparently, scientifically, they've been proven to be utterly useless. They have no probiotic benefits on your stomach, and there's no good bacteria versus bad bacteria, and it's just a scam. But if it's a placebo, it still works, man. It works for me. It helps my stomach calm down. Part of it, obviously, is my also my addiction to Red Bull. I should probably quit that at some point. I should probably stop consuming 2 cans of Red Bull every day. But man, I need my vice. I gave up cigarettes like a year and a half ago now, and I don't have that vice anymore. And I need something unhealthy in my life. I think it's Red Bull and carbs. Those are my two addictions right now. I cannot give up bread and rice if you paid me. And so yeah, that's what's been happening. Right now I'm just going down. The problem is also like living in Northam is you just don't get, there's not many shops. And there's, I mean, we have a Woolworths and we have a few other grocery stores and stuff in Northam, but there's some things you just don't get. I need to buy an iron, I need to buy a few other things and like a hair product and so on and so forth. And so yeah, I'm driving down for that. I'm also wrapping up gigs. I have a corporate show today in Manjura, for those of you who don't know, is another, it's more like a city now, it's not even a town, it's like an extended suburb of Perth. It's around 40 minutes away from Perth, and on the other side, so it's, for me it's a 2.5 hour drive almost, and I'm going there for a corporate show this evening, performing for some group of real estate developers or something like that, but it's good money. Can't complain. I've actually been lucky that way. But the corporate shows, especially in Pakistan, they used to be these soul-destroying experiences where you're performing in a corner like ambient music while people swap business cards. But over here, I've had pretty good corporate experiences and they pay really well. They cover my bills. So when I complain, I'm genuinely being ungrateful. So yeah, I've got that today. And a few days ago was the karaoke thing where the Perth comedy community, man, they really are amazing. They really are. They've been giving me some farewell stuff like that. We had a massive karaoke blowout a few days ago, and then on Monday, where there's like a big farewell show for me, where a lot of my comedian friends are going to get up and do comedy. I guess basically roast me is how it works, which I'm really looking forward to. But it's kind of weird. I didn't have a comedy community around me when I was doing stand up in Pakistan. It was just me mostly. It was there's two other comedians, Saad Harun and Danish Ali. But stand-up comedy is such a solitary experience that, you know, we didn't even really spend much time hanging out with each other. You know, maybe we toured, I think, once. We did a thing where Saad, Danish and I went across Pakistan together. But other than that, we just kind of performed in our own separate corners of our lives. And when I came here, I was really, I was the outsider. I'd moved to Australia. Everyone else was Australian and part of the community and stuff. And I was this guy from Pakistan who lived in Northam and you know, would only come down, do a gig and leave, didn't really hang out and stuff. So it took me a while to kind of build up that sense of community. And the kind of heartwarming generosity and hospitality that everyone's shown me, especially over the last few days as I'm leaving, has been really, really incredible. It makes me feel sad that I'm going to be saying goodbye to a lot of my friends here. We had big karaoke thing. For those of you who don't know, I don't know why anyone of you would know, I love karaoke. I'm going through a midlife crisis for sure, because beyond the guitars, I'm kind of developing, my midlife crisis isn't in the typical fashion that most people have it. My midlife crisis involves a lot of karaoke love, something I was wanting to do and I never did, and now I'm like, forget it, I'm just gonna do it. And I went and I did it, and I sang Sam Cooke's Bring It On Home To Me, and I sang Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On, and I rocked the shit out of both of them, and it was fucking amazing. And the other thing I've been doing recently is something called No Lights, No Lycra. And I will take your, I will explain that to you now, and then I'll take your judgment and tell it to fuck right off, because I will not be judged for this. It's No Lights, No Lycra is a thing where basically they rent out a massive hall once a week and they turn off all the lights, so all you can see is the silhouettes around you, just enough to not bump into people, and then they play music, all kinds of music, and everyone just dances. And the point being that there's no judgment, and everyone can just dance in the dark and kind of have fun and be, you know, be themselves without feeling self-conscious, because that's a big part of it. Like, you go to a party and you dance, and I don't know how to say it. Is it dance or dance? Like, the American is dance and the British is dance, and Pakistan we say dance, but I don't know, in Australia does it say dance or dance? Because that's, Australia's got a weird thing where they mix up a lot of British and American pronunciations, because they've got the British influence, because they are at their heart, they're Anglo fetishists, but they also learned a lot of the English from watching American television and Sesame Street and all that stuff. And so they get to get the two mixed up sometimes. I don't know which one it is. Anyway, I'll probably switch back and forth between the two because my accent is still, you know, quite befuddled, confused, and so on and so forth. So, if I go to a party and I dance, and I'm always worried about what other people are thinking, how they're judging me, what they're, you know, are they mocking me? It's all obviously self-involved, narcissistic nonsense. No one gives a shit. Everyone's busy in their own heads thinking the exact same thing. But in my head, they're all making fun of me. So I never really got to enjoy dancing. And then I went to Rottofest this year on Rottnest Island. It's a big comedy festival. And after the comedy night, where comedy was done, we'd all kind of started dancing. And it was amazing. It was really freeing. Also, the fact that I was high as a kite at the time might have helped. But I definitely was a therapeutic experience. And I was like, oh, I really like doing this. I really want to do this more. And so someone told me about No Lies, No Liker, where you can do it and there's no judgment. And I went up on stage. I went to No Lies, No Liker for the first time 2 weeks ago. And I walked in and I was like, I'll just take around 5 minutes. I was meeting some friends there. And then they already were inside. I got there late, so I couldn't see them. It was too dark. And I was like, I'll go stand in the back for 5 minutes and I'll leave. And then an hour and 10 minutes of just hardcore dancing later, where I sweated through my clothes and my legs are shaking and it just is the best. I was like, alright, I found my thing. This is my new thing now. So I did that and I've done it 2 weeks in a row now, and it's fun, it makes me feel good, endorphins and all that, and it's a good exercise, and I can hear all of you judging me right now, but you know what, I'm 37 years old, I'm a stand-up comedian and a writer, and I did all those things with everyone telling me not to and judging me for doing them, and I don't have any time or patience for your fucking judgment. I will be who I want to be. If I want to be a dancer, then God damn it, I'm going to be a dancer. I don't even know how we got to talking about this. But yeah, that's been... Yeah, karaoke and so on and so forth. And so I've got another few shows lined up. I'm doing a corporate show tonight. Then Monday is the big... is the roast. Next week, I'm also doing a fundraiser for... a legal aid for refugees and asylum seekers. They provide free legal services for refugees, and so they need money, and so I'm doing a fundraiser for them, and I think we've already earned several thousands of dollars for them, which is fantastic. I'm very proud of that achievement. And then after that, I have, I think, one or two more gigs, and I'm done. And November 5th, we fly out, and we land in Melbourne, and then I don't know what's going to happen. Because everyone keeps saying, it'll work out, you'll be great. Whenever I tell anyone, hey, I'm really scared, I'm really worried, I don't know the Melbourne comedy scene. I know a few people there, the ones who've come over here. I met them. And from what I've heard, it's kind of a cliquey comedy scene. And from what I've heard, there's not much money in just doing stand-up comedy there. I've been lucky enough that I can be a professional stand-up comedian in Western Australia and earn good money doing that. But apparently in Melbourne, no, you got to have something else. You got to have another gig. You got to do some work, earn money some other way, which is, you know, a bit scary and intimidating and frightening and stuff. And so I'm worried about all those things. And every time I tell people, they're like, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It'll work out. How? How will it work out? How? Someone tell me how it will work out, because I really, really would like that. I would like someone to say, look, you get there, this is the guy you call. You call this guy, you do gigs for him. When this guy gives you gigs, that guy's going to see you. That guy's going to give you gigs as well. When you do gigs for the two of them, you're going to get seen by these people. These people are going to pick you up, and then they'll sign you to this. And then that's how you will make your money, and that's how you'll earn a living doing this, and that's how you will be fine, and it'll work out. That's all I want. That's all I've ever wanted. I'm the hustle that this job requires is frightening, because a lot of times you don't know whether you're just hustling in the dark. Hustling in the Dark, by the way, is the name of my new Bruce Springsteen tribute band. I hope you guys like us. But it's just, yeah, I'm scared, man. I don't know what to say. I know it'll work out. Look, we came to Australia on a wing and a prayer, and it did work out, you know. There was some tough fucking times in the middle, but it worked out. we're still here. I've made a living, and things, in, you know, and a few, I think 6-7 months away from citizenship qualification. And yeah, it worked out. I get that. I get it. But it would have been nice to have someone guide me along the way, at least hold my hand and tell me, go this way, go that way, go that way, go this way. But I haven't. I just, yeah, it's the industry I chose, man. It's the field I chose. There are no paths to success in this. Or even if there are, my problem is I haven't taken the traditional ones. My problem is the traditional ones are you do open mics, you build up a comedy career over years, and then you do gigs, you do support acts, then you become a headliner, then you go to the comedy, major comedy festival. So you do Melbourne Comedy Festival, you do Montreal Comedy Festival, you do the Edinburgh Fringe. You get signed to a big talent agency, you get a TV gig, you become a festival act, a theater act, and that's how it goes. I didn't do any of that, right? So I've just been kind of getting by on dumb luck and fortune and the kindness of strangers, and I don't know. I don't know when that'll stop happening. I don't know how to continue doing that. I don't know what to do other than just getting up on stage and doing comedy and then hoping that works out. And sometimes it has, and sometimes it hasn't. And yeah, I hope it works out this time, because if one more person tells me, it'll work out, without telling me how it'll work out, I know they're being well-meaning, and I know they're just being kind and generous. But it's a lot like when someone asks you, how are you doing? And you can't say how you're really doing, because they don't genuinely want to know. It's a thing to say. How am I doing? I'm not doing well, man. I really want someone to hold me right now. Like, I just want to say that once in a grocery store to the checkout counter person. But it'll work out. I guess it'll work out. All right, my name is Sami Shah. As always, you guys can find me at www.samisha.com. That's facebook.com/samisha.fans, twitter.com/samisha, or at Samisha on Twitter. Samisha@gmail.com is my email address. That's SamishaH. As always, please go on iTunes, leave me some feedback, give it a rating. It helps me in the rankings and things like that. Tell your friends, don't tell your friends. Get in touch. I like receiving emails from people. I like getting tweets from people. It's always heartening. Because I know you guys are out there listening, but sometimes, and some of you actually get in touch, and it always fills me with joy when you do. So do that, do. And in the meantime, this has been Sami Says, and I have been, as always, Sami Shah.